Amen. It's a blessing because we realize in Christ we have peace. The wicked are as a troubled sea, but we that are justified have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know what you're going through, but God's peace can sweep over your spirit. And nobody can understand it because the Holy Spirit, His Word, His presence can give you that peace. Who's experiencing right now the peace of God? Oh, yes. Can't explain it. Can't explain it. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 20. Ephesians 3, in the Word of God, verse number 20 and 21. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's do it one more time, because I tell you what, that verse is powerful, isn't it? Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Let the church say, amen. Heavenly Father, help us now. We need You. As already been prayed for myself, may I get out of the way, and may Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, be lifted up. May You do the preaching. May You write Your message that You'd want for every person to hear on their hearts. May You be the one that applies the Word of God and gives that direction to each person. I pray we'd worship You for Your greatness and Your glory. We'd praise You this morning for Your power. We'd praise You for Your grace and Your mercy in our lives. Point people to Your Son, the Lord Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'd like for you to just look at this text for a moment. I've got something in my mind where I'd like to go, if the Lord would help me, but I just want us to look at this text. In verse 20 and 21, what is this? What's verse 20 and 21? Well, it's simply praise. It's the Apostle Paul, who's been saved by the grace and power of God, that was once a murderer of Christians, but God showed up where he was, and now he's in the thick of it. Now he's in the middle of tribulations, verse number 13. He's been imprisoned. He's been through the ringer, so to speak. And he just wants to step aside and give God the glory. He wants to say, now unto Him. He's not talking about now unto you at Ephesus. He's not saying now unto you at Colossae. He just wants to go off in the middle, under the inspiration of God, in the middle of this epistle, not at the end, not at the beginning, right in the middle, when it really wouldn't make much sense, he just wants to say, now unto Him. What's happening here? Praise. We'd call it doxology. Doxology means a word of glory. What's a word of glory? It's a word about God that you can't understand. You know, glory, you can't understand glory. When the glory of God shows up, everybody scratches their head. What in the world's going on? Amen? Lord ever showed up? You ever been somewhere when the Lord showed up and you're like, good grace, what is happening? Especially if it's the first time you've ever been in the glory. Somebody said, I got in the glory one time, felt like I was in a fog. It was so thick. I mean, everybody looks different. I mean, everything's clear. You don't think about anything else around you that's happening when you get in the glory. It's unexplainable. It's unexplainable. Well, this is a word of glory. Paul's trying his best to describe the power that's working in every believer, and he can't stack enough adjectives on top of each other to be able to describe it. He says, now unto Him. It's a word of praise. What is this? A word of praise. What is the surrounding context? Well, it's not only a praise, it's a prayer. Starts all the way up there in verse 13. If I'm not mistaken, there's not a period till 21. It's a prayer from 13 all the way to 21. It's a prayer with an exclamation point at the end. Every prayer ought to have a good exclamation point. You know what the exclamation point of prayer is? Praising God. We ought not commence to praying without saying, "Thank you, Jesus, for your greatness, for your grace, for your glory. Thank you for my salvation." We ought to end with this exclamation point of praise. Who's the one penning it? It's Paul. Paul's a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in persecution. He's in tribulation. Verse 13, look at it. "Faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." He's in tribulation. That's where he's at. Why is he writing this prayer and having this praise? It's for the whole family of God being named in verse number 13. It's for all the saints. That's why he's praying. He's praying for the church there at Ephesus. But he wants to make sure he ends with praising God, because God's the one that is able to do the work in the church. How is he able to do this, though? How is Paul able to praise God in the midst of tribulation? How is Paul able to praise God in Philippians like he does when he's in prison, he's in confinement, he doesn't have liberty, he doesn't have freedom? How is he able to praise God? How is he able to overcome? I see some people, and it's difficult to watch it. They can't even overcome something common. I mean, as soon as they get anything thrown into their life, it's like somebody kicked them in the back of the knee, and they just fall down. They can't get back up. Just something just common. And they say they're a believer. I'm thinking, hey, faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Yeah, believe God, beloved. Trust the Lord. Stand on a promise. Get the Word of God in your heart and overcome. Can I get a witness? I mean, it's like one little thing and they just fall over. But you go and watch another person, and I mean the darts of Satan are being thrown at them. I mean the fiery darts of the wicked one are coming at them. And they're just standing strong and happy in Jesus, and everything's coming at them. What's the difference? Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. There's something greater working inside of them. They got that power working inside of them that Paul's praising God about. Because that power of God is dwelling in his heart by faith, verse 17. And it's working in him, verse 20. Yeah, it worked. It's going to work in them, church at Ephesus, but it's also working in Paul for him to be able to pray like he's praying and praise God like he's praising God. Let me tell you something. Friend, what happens to you when you get kicked in the back of the knee and you fall down? How do you get back up? How do you get back up? I remember one time I was really mean. Can you believe that? I remember we were all standing in choir, Brother Buddy, and I wanted to just kind of be ornery to somebody. And I just kicked them in the back of the knee. And they fell down. Sometimes the devil will kick us in the back of the knee. You ever been kicked in the back of the knee by the devil and fell down? How are you going to get back up and stay up? And then get kicked back down again and stand back up? How are you going to be able to do that? I think one of the ways to be able to do that is stop and praise God on credit. Well, there's nothing going on that's right now. Is God still good? Did he still save you? Are you not going to hell? Are you still going to heaven? Is his mercy new this morning? Does he still hear you when he's praying? Did he stay inside of you last night and not forsake you? Can I get a witness? Can you praise God about anything this morning, church? Say amen. How are you going to get back up? Dwell upon the goodness of God. Dwell upon the greatness of God. Dwell upon the glory of God that never changes. Circumstances might change, but Christ, he never, ever changes. He's always good to us all the time. We praise him for that. How does a person go through a situation? They get the feet knocked out from under them. They lose a loved one. They get diagnosed with cancer. And then something else, and then something else, but they're still joyful in the Lord and thanking the Lord for his goodness. How do they do that? Because they made up their mind to praise the Redeemer as long as they have breath in their lungs. Some of y'all need to learn the power of praise. I'm telling you, praise him here, praise him in the car, praise him at the house, praise him at the job, and stop living in the dumps of despondency. It's quiet in the house of God. Why is it quiet? That's how you get out. Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. So that you're talking about praise and not faith. Sometimes it takes faith, brother, to praise God when you're going through hard times, doesn't it? That's praising God by faith. So I got nothing really to praise God about right now. You can praise God about who He is and not what He does sometimes. That's what's going on here. It's a prayer with a word of glory at the end. It's a prayer closed with praise. You know, I'm not going to preach long, I don't think. Well, good thing you didn't say amen there, didn't you? You're lucky about that. You did good there. And if you would have said amen there and then said anything before, well, we'd have been at odds with one another. No, I really don't intend to preach long. I want to preach about God's abundance. I want you to look at something here. God is an abundant God. He's a super powerful God. I saw something here in this exclamation point of praise. He says, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Abundantly. Above all that we can ask or think. Paul is having a hard time here. Do you ever have a hard time when you really try to praise God and you said to yourself after you got done praising God, either personally or publicly, you ever get done and say, boy, that was awful. I just really couldn't describe how great He was. I didn't have the words to write the love of God. Hey, would drain the oceans dry. You understand what I'm saying? And you praise or you testify or you're trying to tell the Lord in private how good He is to you, and your words just are not adequate. You can't express how wonderful the Lord Jesus Christ is, and you just, His words can't do it. Paul's having that same struggle, and we all ought to have that same struggle. Sometimes just telling somebody God's good just ain't enough. And you got to add an adjective to it. Hey, God's really good. God's very, very good to me. God's wonderful. He's lovely. But sometimes the adjectives, they fall short, don't they? Paul had a good way of stacking adjectives, because Paul never got over how awesome and gracious God was to him. He never got over it. Say, what's the stacking adjectives you're talking about? Well, look at it. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's stacking adjectives. He can't say enough to the power and the abundance of God, so he's stacking adjectives. Have you ever met someone before that's a little hyper? What? What are y'all laughing at? I don't know what y'all laughing at, but have you ever met anybody that's hyper before? Have you ever met anybody that pings off the wall, brother? Have you ever met anybody they would diagnose them with what? ADHD and they're 40. Or almost. Who's ever met somebody like that? Say amen. Oh, yeah. Hyper. There was a young lady. I hope that she's listening. Actually, I hope she's not listening because she's supposed to be in church this morning. But if she was listening, she'd get a kick out of this. It's a young lady that goes down to Lighthouse Christian School down the road, and she's friends with my daughter. And I walked into this classroom, and I mean, she's sitting over there in this classroom, and all of the teenagers are together, and I'm trying to get my children to go home finally. It was late one night, and I said, let's go home. And she's over there just acting crazy. And finally it got quiet, and I called her name. I won't do that right now. I called her name. I said, You're shot out of a cannon. You know that? You ever met a person, they're shot out of a cannon? See, if you don't know what that means they're just crazy. They're hyper. There's a line with some, you know, there's a line that's decent, I guess, and they cross it. Like, no. I've got a few children like that. No, you can't do that. There's a line here. It's the things that are decent. But that person goes beyond the line. Like this. You know, that nobody else does that but your preacher, amen? A little heel kick. You know, hyper. I'm just enjoying myself. And there's people that are just hyper. I was always grew up hyper. I said, what is this preacher going to preach on? Let me tell you something about our God. He's in control. Nothing's bothering him. He's not in heaven biting his fingernails about your problem. He's steady. And beside him, there's none else. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever bothered God? He hasn't worried about a thing. He's in complete control. I like people that are steady like that. Well, our God's that way, but he's also hyper. Meaning by that, when there's a line of ordinary, when there's a line of regular, Miss Lynn, when the line's been drawn in the sand, that's where the status quo is. You understand? Everybody tracking me, say amen. It's right there. That's regular. That's normal. That's to be expected. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. He can cross the line. Everybody else says this way. And God says, no, let me show you down there that I can do more than what man can even expect. God exceeds our best expectations. I said God exceeds our best expectations above all that we can ask or even think. God can exceed all our best expectations. Let the church say amen. God can exceed our best expectations. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, God's over the top. He shot out of a cannon. Oh, say, don't say that. No, what I mean by that, he is wildly past our imaginations, what he wants to do and is willing to do in our lives. He's way over the top, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God exceeds our best expectations. Let's talk about a few instances about our hyper God where he went across the line. That was the regular, and he went way past it. How about with Joseph? Listen, Joseph was rejected. He was falsely accused. He was put in the prison. He was put in the pit before that. He was at the lowest of the lowest. I think it was over 20 years he was in that situation. Nothing was going his way. You think your year's been bad. You think your 5 years have been bad. Take 20 years of false accusation, prison, a pit. I mean, lied about, falsely, all that stuff. Nothing's going Joseph's way. I don't know what he expected for God to do with his life. I don't know what he expected the Lord to do, but I bet he never would have dreamed he would have saved the nation of Egypt. Bless God. Our God can do more than we can even expect. Say, well, I expected God to do that. Let me tell you, friend, I'm living in a dream that I never even dreamed before. God's been that good to me. How about you? I never would have dreamed of the life that God's given me. How about you? I'm telling you, get around people, oh, I prayed about it. There's some things in my life I never even dreamed about, brother, but God gave it to me. There's some things I've never even prayed about. God's just good in spite of our lack of faith. He exceeds our expectations. I don't know what Joseph expected, but I bet he never expected, oh yeah, I'm going to save the nation of Egypt. We're going to go through a famine. And God's going to put me there, just happened to put me there, to save the nation. And I'm going to get back with my brethren real good. And I'm going to be able to send off my daddy well to glory. God exceeds the best of our expectations. Just so happened to be, he's put in prison. And because he got put in prison, he ends up in a palace. Do not regret the prison in your life, because that prison could be the pathway to a palace. Don't get bitter at God in the prison, because you never know who's in the prison that you can be a witness and an influence to that'll get you over yonder years down the road to the palace. See, God has a way of putting circumstances together like he put links in a chain together. Because all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to the purpose. It all begins with God. God is the author and the sustainer of your life. Don't forget, in the palace, God's got a prison years down the road. Don't forget about the prison. God's got a palace down the road somewhere. How about Paul? Let's talk about Paul a little bit. Oh, we could talk about him a lot, couldn't we? Oh, man, where do you want to begin? I'm thinking about when he's out there on that stormy sea about to lose his life. He's on the way to jail. He's on that storm. I mean, he's getting whipped around. He's on shipwreck. If I'm not mistaken, he's hanging on to a board in Acts chapter number 27 and 28. You can read about it. The ship's broke up. He's hanging on a board. He ends up on an island, doesn't he? Does he get bit by a snake? He gets bit by a snake out of fire in Acts chapter number 28. So happens to be in God's providence that he uses that whole experience to lead many, many people to Christ, including those in Caesar's household. Do you see how God happened to use a storm for salvations? See, you might be going through a storm right now, but you know, God's work is bigger than your life. God's work is bigger than your life. God's work is bigger than my life, and he can have you go through a storm so your children get saved. He can have you go through a storm so when you're dead and gone, God used that storm in their life so they get saved. And while you're in heaven, you can watch them get saved. Your life is bigger than your calendar of time. Your life will go on longer. And God can send you through a storm so somebody watching you in the storm say, what did Paul say when he was in that storm? He said, sirs, what did he say? Sirs, I believe God. Somebody's watching you in your storm, and they're watching to see if you'll stand up and say, hey, come what may, as bad as it gets, I believe God. I'm staying with God. I'm holding on fast to the Bible. I'm going to believe God, come what may. He's good no matter what. And people are watching you, and your storm can lead to salvations. Let's talk not only about Joseph and about Paul. Let's talk a little bit about the Samaritan woman. That Samaritan woman, God blew her expectations out the water. He can do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ever ask or think. God does more than we can ever expect. The Samaritan woman just so happened to be at the well at about 12 o'clock and nobody was there. What she didn't know that the Lord said, I must needs go through Samaria. I've got to go to Samaria, not for a crowd, not to have an evangelistic crusade, but I must needs go through Samaria for one person. Let me tell you something this morning. God's got you on his mind. And he loves you with an everlasting love. And you could be hearing this message this morning, and he's a ringing your phone. He's a knocking on your heart. You can hear him right there. And he's saying to you, why do you keep putting me off? Why do you keep not answering? I'm going to tell you, God loves you with an everlasting love. And he says, if you'll just come to me, I'll save you. That ring and that call don't last and get guaranteed the next day. If he calls, you better answer. That's a call of love and a call of grace. Well, one day, the Samaritan woman, 12 o'clock, Jesus shows up at the well. What was her expectation? She was expecting just need a drink of water. She was expecting just to fill her water pot. She was expecting just water. She was expecting water, but she went home with the well. I said she was expecting a little bit of water, but she went home with the well. Hallelujah. Who's the well? Somebody tell me. Jesus Christ is the well of water springing up into everlasting life. Hey, friend, let me testify with you. We came to Jesus for life, but we got abundant life. We came to Jesus for joy, but we got joy unspeakable. We came to Jesus for mercy, but we got grace. We came to Jesus for relief, but we got restoration. We came to Jesus for salvation. We said, Jesus, save me. I'm on my way to hell. Just save me. Just be merciful. But we just didn't get salvation. We got satisfaction. We got more than we expected when Jesus saved our souls, friend. So much more. Somebody better say, amen. I'm going to walk top of these pews. God's good to us. We came to Jesus. We just needed mercy. Don't send me to hell. Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. That's how we all came. And now he's given us a home in heaven. Sins forgiven. A wonderful life. Answers to prayer. Blessings unmeasurable. The Samaritan woman just expected a little bit of water, but she came and got a well of life. God exceeds our best expectations. God will do immeasurably more than you can ever ask or think. I said God can do immeasurably more than you can ever ask or think. How about the lad's lunch? 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Andrew, what's he say? Andrew says, What are they? What are they, these loaves and fishes? What are they among so many? What you going to do with these, Lord? I love when people say things like that. Are you out of your mind? What are they among so many? You got 5,000 plus boys and girls and women and children. What are you going to do with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, Lord? Sometimes that's our faith. We forget Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I want to be living. How about you? I want to be living in Ephesians 3:20. Not living like Andrew. What are these among so many? Are you kidding me? Whatever happened to God? Whatever happened to the Lord? Whatever happened to his greatness and his power? We do serve the God that created everything that we enjoy today out of nothing. That's our great God. So he says, what are these among so many? And then it ends up, you go all the way down to verse number 13 of that text. And how many baskets filled up are left over? 12. They ended up with 100 times more than they started with. Why? Because of God's greatness. It wasn't because that crowd believed God. It wasn't because Andrew was praying good. He was doubting because God used a lad's lunch. I don't want to be like Andrew. I want to be like the lad and give the lunch, the only lunch, all that I've got left, I want to give it to the Lord because God can do more with your lunch when it's all gone. Yeah? And he can return it back to you, given it shall be given unto you. The lad's lunch. God exceeded. I don't know what that boy's expectation was. Now, I know what Andrew's was. It was none. He had no expectation. Some people live with no expectations. And by the way, you say, well, God still did it. He did, didn't he? But guess what? If you've got no expectation, guess what? You're in sin. Because whatsoever is not of faith is. And you're not pleasing God because without faith is it impossible to please God. God might still do it because he's a sovereign God and he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, with whomever he wants, in his perfect counsel of his will, because he's God. Amen? That's the sovereignty of God. But you say, well, he still do whatever he wants to do. Well, if you've got that attitude, guess what? You're not pleasing God and you're in sin. Yeah. And I don't know about y'all. I'm just saying. I'd kind of like Jesus to smile on this church. I'd kind of like God to smile on an old wretch like me. I want him to look down from glory and say, that's one left out of many that's trusting me. That's one that's believing me. I don't want to be the Andrew. What are these among so many? Sounds like some. God had more leftovers than he had in the first lunch. We think ordinary, but God does the extraordinary. We think ordinary, plan it all out, pick it all out. And then God's thinking, but I can do so much more than that. I can do the extraordinary when we think the ordinary. We think small, but God does great and big and amazing things for his glory. We think limited. We box God up. That's what God can do right there. And God's thinking, don't insult me like that. Don't do me that way. Do you not know who I am? See, we think limited, but God is limitless. I want you to turn to one passage. I'd like you to turn to 1 Kings 17. The widow at Zarephath. 1 Kings chapter number 17. The man of God, Elijah, needs some food. He shows up to the widow at Zarephath. She's preparing to eat her last meal in verse 12. He asked for food of her, drink of her, and she said, "As the Lord, the God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. That's all I've got left. I'm going to do this and I'm going to die. It's my last meal." Elijah says, "Fear not." He said, "Give me your last meal. Go and do as thou hast said, and make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son." He said, "Make me a cake first, and then after that, you and your son can eat." Well, what's that mean? She said she only had enough for one, so that means the limits are this. The man of God eats, and she don't have nothing for her son to eat. That's it. That's it. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the accruals of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. It didn't fail. What happened? What happened? She heard what was expected of her, of Elijah. She did it by faith. And when she, after she had fed the man of God, she went back in and she reached down in there and she pulled out the meal. She went back down there again the next day, pulled out the meal. Went back down in there the next day, pulled out the meal. Every day God put more back in there. God will exceed our expectations when we live by faith. It sounded absolutely ridiculous to give the man of God your last meal, or to give God your last meal. But when she was obedient to God, every time she went back down in, I wish this was a barrel right here. She reached back down in there, pulled it out, and she got provision after provision, and it did not what? Waste. You want to see the supernatural? Just do what God tells you to do. That's all I got to tell you, beloved. If God tells you to do it, you do it. If it doesn't make any sense to anybody else, and if this did not make any sense, God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. God exceeds our best expectations. She obeyed to the empty spot. She obeyed to the point of surrender, where she was just going to die. The barrel of meal never wasted, neither did the oil of cruse fail. She expected the last meal, but she received a lasting meal. Let me say that again. She expected the last meal, and she received a lasting meal. So this is all I've got, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to live on what. Whatever happened to God? Give God your last meal. Your last meal. The point of surrender. And God will turn back around and give you a lasting meal. See, I don't know how it's going to show up at the end of the 2 weeks, and the end of the week, and the end of the month. Give God your last meal, and He'll give you a lasting meal. That's our hyper God. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And let me tell you, I'm not done, and God's not done. It's not just a meal that she got. What happens later on? Because she did what God told her to do, and she gave God, she obeyed God by giving the man of God a meal. What happens later? Somebody tell me. Her son was raised to life. Don't kid yourself. God works consecutively. When we do one thing, God knows what's in the future, and He'll bless there, and He'll bless there, and you never even would have known that you need your son healed. Because God does past our best expectations. Serving God from an empty barrel does more to fill your barrel than you think. I said serving God from an empty barrel does more to fill your barrel than you can ever imagine. Say, I can't give God anymore. I got nothing more to give Him. Give them to the last meal, and then God will fill your barrel. And that's exactly what happened. Did it not happen with the lad? It happened with the lad too. See, we give like this. I'm preaching to myself. We give to God, not through God. Some of you didn't get that, but we give to God. This is what I got, so I'm going to put it in here. When God says, I don't want you to give to me, I want you to give through me by faith. And you give the first fruits of your increase, and then watch me later on that month give it back through you. Give it back through you. You understand that? Where God sees that you're a funnel, and we give not only just money, but all kinds of different things. Give our time, give our treasures, give our talents. I mean, our whole life's given to God. And we don't necessarily give to God. We give through God, and then God brings it back to us. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You understand what I'm talking about? Give, and it shall be given unto you. And it's just coming through, coming through, coming through. And God said, oh, there's not a, that person's not stingy. Don't go away from me. That person's not stingy. I can trust them with that because they're going to take what God gave them and give it back to me. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's what that lady learned right there. Serving God from an empty barrel does more to fill your barrel than you can ever imagine. And our resources will accomplish very little in our own hands, but will accomplish everything in God's hands. She gave the little that she had left to God, and God used it to accomplish more than if she would have kept it to herself. You think, I've got to keep that last little bit for myself, that last little bit of time, that last little bit of money, that last little bit, that's the last little bit I got to keep that for myself. God can do more with that little bit in his hand than it being in your hand. God blesses an open hand, not a closed hand. And that's what she learned right there. And we know the song, it's 397. What is it? Little is much. Tell me. Yeah, but God's going to be in it. It might be little, but is God in it? God's only in it when it's his. Little is much when God is in it. Well, God's in the church when it's given to him. God's in your life when it's given to him. Little as much when God is in it. Our God, all I'm trying to tell you today from God's word is God exceeds our best expectations. You might expect something, God's greater. You might think and dream and ask, God can go greater than that. You say, well, what's God have for my life? What's God have for this church? What's God have for this week to come? Far past what I can ever think. Far past what you can ever think. Do you want God to blow your socks off while you're living with his goodness and his grace? Say amen. I want to live in Ephesians 3:20. I don't want to live with Andrew. What are these among so many? All right. Here's a little verse for you. He said, call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hadn't even thought of it. Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church. Glory in the church? How are we going to have glory in the church? When that power is working in us, that power that's above what we can ask or think, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end, amen. John Newton wrote this little poem. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions to him bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. You can't ask too much. He's greater than what you think, and he's greater than what you ask. Who has a great, great request, a great, great need, a great, great desire, a great, great dream? I do. How about you? God exceeds our best expectations. He can do more
exceedingly abundantly more than you can even ask or think.
Yeah, He's our hyper God. We've got the line right here. Yeah, I think God can do this. I think He can do this with Bemis Road Baptist Church. Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds reasonable. I think God's going to do this with my life. That sounds reasonable. Yeah, I think He'll do that. But God's thinking, no, I want to take you way, way down there. I want you to live in faith, live in victory, and see God orchestrate everything. And when that happens, we don't get the glory. Because man says, there's no way that little bit of people and that little bit of nothing could have done that. We've got to give the credit to God. That's when you're living in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. That's what I want for this church. Glory in the church. You see that little phrase in there? Glory in the church. Meaning by that, the glory's going to God because little is much when God is in it. I want God to be in it. I want God to be on my life. I want Him to be on your life. I want Him to be on this church because He can take a little, because little is much when God is in it. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Our God exceeds our best expectations. As you stand with me, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, God wants to do the extraordinary. He wants to do above and beyond, past, over, exceed what we can ever ask or think. Say, Brother Justin, I want to live in Ephesians 3:20. I want that for our church. I want that for my life. I want that for this Jubilee. I want God to do something great. I want God to send revival. Would you come with me and say, I want God to save people. I want God to call people into the ministry. I want God to burden our hearts for revival. I want God to send an awakening to the church. I want God to do the extraordinary. I can't even say what God wants to do because my mind's not even there. I can't think like God thinks. I can't be there. I'm not there. My faith is weak. You understand that? I want to be able to say this is what God wants, but God's mind is so much further down the road than ours. He's got a vision for us that we can't understand. Say, but Pastor, I want to believe God with you for great and mighty things in this church and in our individual lives. Like Paul said, sir, I believe God. Who in here this morning say, Brother Justin, I'll help you pray and believe God for the great and mighty things which we know not. Raise your hand. I believe God wants to do it. She begins to play. Would you just slip out of your seat and make this altar a place of prayer? If you raise your hand, come on forward.